Think Red Ink presents The Questions of Jesus. Profound meditations with author and host Don C. Harris. What did Jesus ask?
Question 103. Are there not 12 hours in the day? John 11:9. And Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumbleth not, because he seeth the light of this world. Sometimes the context of a verse demands that it be reinterpreted. In this case, it almost seems that Jesus is cowering before persecution, when the disciples say, Master, the Jews of late sought to stone thee, and goest thou thither again? Jesus answered, Are there not 12 hours in the day? This answer is as if Jesus intends to avoid them by darkness, which is not the case. Just prior to this event, Jesus made the statement, I must work the works of him that sent me, while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. The clearer understanding of this verse would be rendered, Are there not only 12 hours in a day? Jesus was saying to them that danger or threatening situations could not hinder the work. At this point, Jesus found himself to be on a timetable or schedule. He was concerned that certain work that required his presence was carried out, for night cometh when no man can work. Many things in life take precedence or priority over other things by virtue of the lone fact that they are present. Busyness is an enemy of things eternal. Impending, imminent things take precedence over important things because our short-sightedness, laziness, or lack of diligence has caused an emergency. An emergency is defined as a serious situation or occurrence that happens unexpectedly and demands immediate action. Most of our tired lives are lived from one emergency to another, but it need not be that way. We take on too many things. We don't finish what we start. We don't count the cost of projects and endeavors beforehand. We wrap ourselves tightly in our time and finances and social obligations, living from one emergency to another. We never find the time to deal with important issues. How else could we ignore eternal life? How else could we put off fellowship with Christ? How could we be so inconsiderate of our neighbor? You're driving down a highway and all is well. The traffic is unusually light today and the weather's nice. Suddenly you notice in your rearview mirror a crazy driver weaving in and out of traffic. You see that he's gaining speed and heading your way. So you decide to pull over. As you negotiate an opening in the traffic on your right, a blaze goes by your left, cuts right in front of your fender and weaves its way through the traffic in front of you and is soon out of sight. Wow, what was that? That crazy driver could have killed someone. We have nothing good to say about someone who has no consideration for others or their life or property and sets their concerns above everyone else's. As you get further down the road, you see that it was a paramedic on his way to work and had obviously heard on his radio about an accident just 2 miles from where he was. He rushed to the scene and saved a life. All is well. All is forgiven. The man who was labeled a lunatic moments before was now a hometown hero. What excused all that lack of concern for person and property? What excused the reckless driving and jeopardy of life and limb? An emergency. Just an emergency. And all is forgiven. We subconsciously create our excuses for failure to deal with important issues and things eternal by creating emergencies in our life. Who of us has not been secretly pleased when a situation that was out of our control provided a perfect excuse not to deal with something or someone unpleasant? Those who live from emergency to emergency could very well be in a situation of their own making and design. It provides excuses for failure, slothfulness, sickness, injury, lack of concern, lack of finances, and ineffectiveness. Nearly all of the undesirable and selfish motives in the heart of man can be excused, and in some cases even praised, due to emergencies. The worst effect, and indeed the most costly, is the effect this kind of living has on one's own soul. If a man or woman never deals with the eternal verities, the imminent return of Christ, the judgment of one's life by God, simply because they're too busy, they have let their self-woven web of emergencies cost them their eternal life. Are there not only 12 hours in a day? If certain work must be done in the day, and it must be done, and there are only 12 hours of daylight, could we not therefore reason some things are more important than even our emergencies? We must not live our lives only doing what we have to do. We should live our lives doing what is right. Our stomachs are in knots and our blood pressure is up. Our finances are irreparable and our children are strangers to us, and we gladly deal with all these problems as soon as our present emergency is over. What a pity, for we know that as soon as this present problem is solved, another will take its place. Satan will take opportunity here. We will eventually use up all of our years chasing an ideal, avoiding things eternal, trying to become, trying to attain, and forsake the really important matters. We welcome any diversion, any interruption that takes us away from the judgment we feel in silence. If we seek stillness, devoid of emergencies, we will find our lives spent, having never done anything worthwhile. What makes matters worse is that in doing so, we rob ourselves of the pleasures with which God wants to reward us. We're too busy to stop to receive instruction of the Lord or His blessings. C.S. Lewis, in his Screwtape Letters, proposes such a scenario when he wrote, Screwtape, speaking of one of Wormwood's patients, "You can keep him up late at night, not roistering, but staring at a dead fire in a cold room. All the healthy and outgoing activities which we want him to avoid can be inhibited and nothing given in return. So that he must say, as one of my patients said upon his arrival down here, 'I now see that I spent most of my life in doing neither what I ought nor what I liked.'" Are there not only 12 hours in a day? We must work while it is day, for night cometh when no man can work. You must prioritize properly, and not discount the eternal as though it is in the far future. The stress under which you place yourself shortens your time here, and makes the day you put off and ignore even closer than you realize. It is not that there is little time or much time, a good time or a bad time. It is that there is only a certain amount of time. You must live as though the statement is true, "Night cometh when no man can work." Soon there will be none. You must work while it is day. Are there not only 12 hours in a day?
That's all for this time. You've been listening to Don C. Harris at Think Red Ink Ministries. Do you have questions or comments? We'd like to hear from you. Send an email to don@thinkredink.com. Join us again for the next episode of The Questions of Jesus.